Great. Thank you so much, everybody. I think these are all great tips. And I remember my first day on the job at Washington State University, sitting in my office and just going, now what? What do I do? I really had no idea. I had no grant sources. It wasn't grant writing time. I reached out to some growers that I knew from when I was doing my master's work in Washington State, and that was helpful. But at that point, I was like, huh. But hitting my next job at University of Florida, I felt much more prepared, but it took 5 years of a job to get there. So hopefully, I know both Dr. Kopsels will have some really good information and really good advice for you to, once you do land a job, how do you hit the ground running? And so with that, I'll let them go. Great.
Well, thank you, everybody. Good afternoon. We're getting towards the end of our presentation here, or the end of our program. And it's my distinct pleasure to introduce my big brother, Dean Kopsel. For those of you, we are identical twins, so that answers that question. And Dean is older. He's 11 minutes older than I am. So I will defer to him.
Okay, again, my younger, more talented brother is Dave. He's at Illinois State University, and he's a professor of horticulture, and he's also the assistant chair of the agriculture department.
Okay, we kind of know of what we speak. These are all of our first days on the job. We started out in a family-run nursery business, and that was Clavey's Nursery, and it's hard to kind of think back on exactly what our first day was because we grew up there. Towards the end of the presentation, we'll show you some pictures of what we've done. We went to graduate school together at the University of Georgia, and my big piece of advice for people thinking about graduate school is bring your identical twin brother with you because there's a lot to do and there's a lot they can help you with. We've also had jobs in pretty much every area of horticulture. We've been in the academic side mostly, but in academia, we've had teaching jobs, we've had extension jobs, we've had service appointments, and also administrative appointments, which we both have now. I've also worked in private industry as a crop consultant. Our current jobs, as Dean mentioned, he is the chairperson of the Environmental Horticulture Program at the University of Florida. And I'm at Illinois State University. And to kind of link back into our previous presentation, I'm the only Horticultural Society member at Illinois State University because I'm the only horticulture professor. And our motto of Illinois State University is state your passion. And one of the things that attracted me to Illinois State, number one, Dean and I both got our bachelor's degrees there in the early 1990s. But number two was that mission of students first and education. And that was my passion. And I really believe not only being an alum of the department, but my passion got me that job. And all across campus, when I sit on search committees, they're looking for the right fit. So for me, it's the perfect fit for my career objectives.
Okay, so now we've been here all afternoon, so I want everybody to close their eyes. Okay, close them. Kurt, close them. Okay, now you've already heard about, you know, how to search for a job. You've already gotten all the tips about how to prepare your CV and your resume. Now, picture in your mind that you have your dream job. Dennis, do you have your dream job yet? Close, okay. So, you have your dream job, okay? And now, picture yourself getting ready for your first day of work, because this is going to start your dream job. And this is what we hope to tell you about in the next couple of minutes. Okay, you can open your eyes. Hopefully, you've all picked the right job. Okay, one thing you're going to notice, I mean, if you've heard some of the speakers mention this, your first day in the job is almost going to feel like your interview. Everything is going to be hitting you all at once. You're likely to meet almost as many people as you did on your interview. You know, those are going to be the human resource people. They're going to set you all up with your retirement, your benefits, your health coverage. You might talk to the IT people. Okay, those are people who are going to help you up with your email, your web IDs, etc. Parking services, because most of us, believe it or not, you know, we have to pay for parking just like students. So you're going to have to talk to the parking services, the key shop, so you can actually get into your lab, your office, your research facility. Communications, okay, we're all about connecting, so it's all about web. So you're probably going to talk to the communications person to set up your web page. The other thing, if you're going to set up a lab or have any sort of research program, you're probably going to talk to people in facilities. You're also going to talk to people with biosafety and also hazardous waste. And this is probably true for both commercial and academic. So there's going to be a lot of things hitting you all at once, and it's going to feel like a blur for months on that job. But remember, you've got your dream job, so relish in the fact that you actually have it. So as you're going through all this, you're being inundated by everything that they throw at you. Just remember some of these tips along the way.
So this is what we're going to kind of talk about and elaborate on. And hopefully the first one is a given. Be nice and be kind and be professional. And we're going to talk more about that. Start out organized. And we'll mention more about that. And this is a piece of advice. I wish I did it more myself when I first started out, but I advise a lot of young faculty as a mentor, protect your calendar. And we're going to kind of talk about what that means, as well as learning your work culture. So everywhere you work is going to be different. Even if it's in the same land-grant institution or a non-land-grant institution like I'm at in a different part of the country, begin your networking. On day one, begin your networking. And then lastly, we're going to end up with have fun. You got the job and hopefully you got your dream job. So now it's time to do what you love doing every day.
Okay. So first things first, you want to show up early, but not too early. Okay. You don't want to be there too early. You always want to remember to put your cell phone on silent. Okay. It's hard for the millennials. It's even hard for maybe some of the Gen Xers like myself. Keep that phone on silent. Keep it in your pocket because it's very rude to be pulling out your phone, every second of the day to answer a question. Also, some of the advice out there is befriend at least one work colleague. Okay. And if you befriend at least one person at work, they can sort of show you the ropes along the way. You guys have already read the cartoons off at the right. Hopefully that'll get you going. The other thing that you want to do is that you always want to say yes. You always want to say yes to coffee. You always want to say yes to lunch with colleagues. You want to start to build your network, okay? You want to become a part of that team. And, I mean, the dirty little secret in academia is when we actually go through promotion and tenure, once you get up to Dr. Rieger's level at the dean's office, even the provost level, they're just looking at somebody on a piece of paper. But it all starts in your department. Your first tenure decision starts with the people you work with every day. So you want to make sure that those people get to know who you are as a person, what you're passionate about, and what you actually bring to the department.
Okay, so here's this be nice and be kind to everyone. And I'll tell a quick story. We have a really great alum of our department, and he works in human resources at his company. And he interviews a lot of people, like you've heard today. And after most of the interviews, a group of people that he goes to talk with are his staff members. How did that interview candidate treat you when I wasn't around or when they were waiting? And how you treat someone on your job interview is going to be pretty indicative of how you're probably going to treat people on a day in and day out basis. So again, it's very important. Everyone you work with deserves your kindness and your respect. And I also talked to several colleagues as well who are also administrators at my university. And some of the other things they said was, we've heard this word before a couple times today, collegiality. Are you a good fit for the mission of the company or the mission of the university where you're working at? Civility, being civil and being, you know, it doesn't really have a lot to do with your scientific knowledge. It's just kind of who you are as a person. And then lastly, we've heard this a lot. You're part of a team. A lot of what your career accomplishments are going to be individual things on your CV. But what you do where you are working is part of a team. And realize that you're part of a mission, an overall a direction that your company or your university is going, and that fits with the whole, you know, are you going to be the right fit for this particular job, and are you going to be successful with the group of people you're working around? So kind of remember those things, and it's that all I really needed to know I learned in kindergarten. And if you could kind of read through that list, it's really what you need to do to be not only be a good person, be nice to be around, but also to be a good employee and a good member of a team.
Okay, some tips on being professional at the job. You don't want to be shy, okay? I mean, you demonstrated how outgoing you were in your interview, so certainly don't make that stop as soon as you get your job. You want to try, but don't try too hard, because people will actually see through that too. You want to relax and you want to smile, so you want to project a good image. Project interest and energy, okay? That's one thing that you'd love to see. You want new faculty members come in, they bring in a lot of new energy, they're really excited to be there, so you want to project that in your first couple of days on the job. You want to talk to all your new peers, okay? Get to know the lay of the land. Pay attention to your body language, too. We've heard a little bit about body language, okay? You don't want to be closed. You don't want to be kind of standoffish. I've got a 14-year-old daughter, and she tells me, Dad, how do I make friends? And she's sitting there, how do I make friends, Dad? And I'm like, well, it's how you present yourself. Are you open? Are you willing to accept questions? Are you willing to actually talk to people? So make sure that you carry that into your first couple of days in the job. And then lastly, you know, express your gratitude. I mean, they gave you the job. They spent, you know, that $1 million investment in you. So there's going to be a lot of resources coming your way. And you want to make sure that the people around you, that you're thankful for that, okay, and that you're here to help.
Okay, growing up, I'm going to give you one of our dadisms. And one of our dad's favorite sayings growing up was, do as I say, not as I do. So as a long-term faculty member or someone who's been at this a while, guess which desk do you think mine looks like? the one on the right or the one on the left. But the thing about starting out and staying organized is very important. I'll give you another little quick story. I had a friend of mine who got a job in cooperative extension, and it wasn't her first day that I visited her. It was her first week. And I could tell she was having a really rough transition. And I'm like, what can I do to help? Tell me what I can do to help. And believe it or not, one of the things she asked was, can you come and help me organize my office? I'm so nervous and I'm so overwhelmed right now, I can't even do that. So I went and visited her and we cleaned up her office and we organized, and I could just see her disposition change and her emotional state change, and she got more relaxed and she was able to focus on what she was doing and she wasn't sitting in this chaotic environment. So when you start your job, you're going to be moving in all your boxes and all your books and all everything you've ever done. But remember, start out and stay organized and kind of start out on that nice, calm footing as you start moving through. And the second thing is, again, this is more of do as I say, not as I do, because I learned this the hard way. When my first professional job out of grad school was in extension, and I wrote down my appointments on my calendar. I did not write down the things I was supposed to be doing by myself. And my calendar filled up, and lo and behold, all the stuff I was supposed to be doing by myself, I did on nights and weekends. So that first line there, be protective of the time you spend alone. And you are going to spend time alone, and in that alone time is when you're going to be writing and when you're going to be doing research and when you're going to be thinking about things, and not where you're being pulled by many different people, or whether they're clients or whether they're students or whether they're colleagues. So be protective of that. And again, I've given that advice to several of the young faculty I've mentored, and they've really come back later on and said, you know, that's really made a big difference. Schedule research time. Schedule writing time, whether that's finishing up the manuscripts on your dissertation if you haven't already done so, or whether it's company reports that you need to do. So make sure you're protective of that time you spend alone.
Okay, next thing on the list is start to learn your work culture. Okay, this is a place that you're almost going to invest maybe 30 to 40 years of your life. So some of the things that you need to start picking up on: how do you dress? Okay, I now work at the University of Florida. It's hot. There's not a lot of people who dress up in sport coats and ties or full suits and ties because it's hot. Okay, so learn how to dress. Learn the hours of work. Okay, academia is a very flexible place. You know, you can come in at 10 and work till 8 or whatever. Find out where you're most productive. To go along with the hours of work, some of the best advice I give to graduate students is find out what time of the day that you're most productive. If you write in the mornings, block out time to write in the mornings. If you write in the afternoons, do the same. Don't try to be productive at different times of the day that you're not going to be productive, because it'll just be a waste of time. Understand office etiquette. Okay, understand some of the lays of the land when it comes to that, and certainly office politics. And then the other thing that you've heard this through several speakers this afternoon is that your IQ got you the job, but it's this thing that's called EQ that's probably going to be the secret to your success. And some of the research out there that shows that your first couple of days in the job or your first job, your EQ determines over 60% of your success in that job, not necessarily your IQ. And that, as academics, that might be hard for us to swallow, but if you don't know what EQ is, it stands for emotional intelligence. Okay, IQ is really kind of hard to move up and down, but you can actually move your EQ or your emotional intelligence up and down the scale just through practice and certainly self-awareness. When we talk about self-awareness, it's really recognizing and understanding the emotions and reactions of others so then you can react from them. It also involves things like self-management, how you manage, control, and adapt your emotions to fit the other people around you also demonstrates high EQ. It also determines your motivation, you know, how you harness your own emotions for good instead of bad. Because most of us are crippled by our emotions, crippled by our insecurities. If you can master those, you can turn those into success factors really quickly. The other thing that allow you to do is develop a sense of empathy, okay? Put yourself in the shoes of someone else and kind of walk their walk and know what they're going through. And that'll allow you to pick up their feelings and their emotions and allow you to relate with them more successfully. And the other thing is all the things that you've been hearing so far, these soft skills or these social skills. How do you build relationships? How do you lead? How do you negotiate with people? And how do you work as part of a team? All this is known as your EQ or your emotional intelligence, and that the good news is that you can actually work on that, and there are a lot of different resources that you can actually go to if you need help in those particular areas. But that's really going to determine a lot of your success, because you've already got that, you got intellectual horsepower, you've already got that IQ that's driving you, you know, you're proving that you're a really good successful researcher, a really good successful teacher because you're good at what you do. Now, how can you take that and relate it to other people to make sure that now you can become a functional part of that team and become part of the mission of your unit?
Okay, so Dean just mentioned how administrators dress in Florida, which is probably different than Delaware, the colder climate, but find out rather quickly, if you haven't already, where your job fits on the professional dress spectrum. Most of us in academia, unless you're up in the upper administration, don't have to wear suits and ties every day. Truth be told, all the jobs I've ever had, and I'll confess, Dean and I have never, ever had a job that didn't have anything to do with horticulture or agriculture. Everything I've ever been paid to do had something to do with plants and horticulture. And I could pretty much dress the way I'm dressed now for everything. This is how I dress every day when I teach. This is how I dressed when I worked with growers in Mexico. This is how I dressed when I worked with growers in Extension when I was in New Hampshire. So, but it does run the spectrum, and some of you are going to have jobs where you're down sort of at the bottom right hand of that slide, where you're going to be doing field work. So the last thing you want to do is do field work looking the way I'm looking, or go to a staff meeting or a faculty meeting or go to meet your dean looking like you just crawled out of the field and things like that. So look at your colleagues, see how they're kind of dressed and stuff like that on your interview, and then maybe ask around, and maybe this won't be your first day you figure this out, but wait, this is a couple days you're going to figure this out as well.
All right, again, a little bit more of learning the work culture. Listen, observe, and network. Okay, figure out those unwritten rules of the office. Obviously, you got to find out where the bathrooms are because you're going to need that right away. Find out where the office is or the office supply room is, the break room, the good restaurants in your particular area, and also the do's and don'ts of those break rooms, because those are usually posted by the staff in very big, bold letters. Sometimes they have food stains all over them, but you'll find those right away. So really, it's trying to learn all of your, using your skills to actually learn how you're not going to come in and put a wrinkle in the organization, how you're not going to come in and cause a splash that you do not want in the wrong direction. So again, it's like learning those unwritten rules of the work culture of the new unit that you're going to be employed with.
I'm just going to go back to the other slide for a minute. I showed an administrator on our campus my presentation here, and you know what she said? She said, tell them they need to know how to make ice. Don't leave the ice maker out of ice. She said, all the grad students, they take all the ice, and even some of the young professors don't. They need to fill up the ice trays. Okay, now after I told you to protect your calendar, now I'm going to tell you you need to be available to your new boss or your new supervisor, again, on your first day on the job. So again, that's important. The other thing that's very important, this is why we've highlighted the way we have this, do not skip orientation and training sessions. Because again, that first day or those first few days, you're going to be in a lot of different sessions like this. And Dean and I were discussing this beforehand when we were putting together this talk. When you do this, you put more pressure on your staff people and your staff members, because now you have to go to them to help you with things that you should have been trained to do if you wouldn't have skipped these particular sessions. So these are very important. Some of them can be kind of long and tedious, but they've got some important pieces of information that you need to know in order to do your job effectively, to take the pressure off the people who help support you.
Okay, there's a lot of different information out there that you can actually access. So we've stuck a couple of the websites on this particular slide, whether it's Business Insider, which I actually love as a really great reference source for, it's great. It's got bulleted lists on it. It's really easy to read. A lot of great information. TED Talks, you probably are familiar with those. Those are great. Forbes Magazine, Inc. Magazine, etc. So, what you see on this list actually comes from some of the most successful people in business around the country and around the world. The first one is, do what you're not good at. Okay, if you do what you're not good at, you're constantly pushing yourself. Okay, as researchers, every day we're trying to do what we're not good at. Okay, we have to teach ourselves how to actually do that, how to sort of break the barriers of science. Listen more than you talk. Okay, especially those first couple of days in the job, because I mean you're going to try to soak it all in there. And this was a really great one. This came from Jeff Bezos from Amazon. Paint the back of the fence. What does that mean when I say paint the back of the fence? Care enough about the details that you're going to paint the back of the fence that nobody's going to see. Okay, so make sure that you actually do that. Consider other points of view. Okay, you're going to come into a department. You've got, you know, varying disciplines. You got varying areas of specialization, varying levels of age, expertise, etc. So you're going to have to learn really quickly to consider other points of view in everything that you do, whether it's sitting on committees, whether it's staffing your lab, whether it's interacting with the staff in your department, etc. And the last one here is you can't buy reputation. Okay, that reputation is going to be, it's going to follow you around your entire career. You guys have made the first step in that direction. You're attending ASHS, you're attending the conference, you're being an active member of this society. That reputation is going to carry you decades into your career. Okay, it'll be 10, 20, 30, 40 years in your career. So remember, you can't buy your reputation, you can only build on that.
Okay, and lastly to wrap up, have fun. These are pictures of the jobs that Dean and I have had. We grew up in a town of 800 people. And when we left to go to school, we left 798 of them behind. But we've been all over the world doing all sorts of cool things and working with a lot of great colleagues. And I think you've heard that this morning. And my career, it's funny. I think together we make the perfect faculty member. Dean gravitated towards research, and I gravitated towards teaching. My job is 75% teaching, 25% research. And before Dean was in administration, his was 85 research, 15 teaching. And it's just, even though we're identical twins, we're a little different in that respect. And what was our passions? And again, the career path that I've chose, I wouldn't trade it for anything. But the different jobs I've had, and I always tell this to my students, or when I tell people when they think about all the jobs I've had and what my career path looks like, I use everything I've ever done in the classroom every day. Every job I've ever had, I can draw upon experience when I teach. And again, it's just been the greatest job for me in the world. And I know Dean will say the same for what he's done as well. So be honest with yourself. Find what your passion is, and then go after the job that's out there, because they are out there.
Okay, with that, 5 o'clock. How was that, Kurt?